We are back on Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Back to the headlines at week's end, and of course the big story throughout the week here in Washington, especially on Capitol Hill, was would members of Congress actually get it done and pass a $700 billion economic bailout plan for the nation's beleaguered financial institutions. On Friday, that finally happened with some changes made by the Senate and approved by the upper chamber on Wednesday. The final vote again on Friday in the House was 263 to 171. But did that have a positive impact on Wall Street? No. At the time of the vote, the Dow was well up over 200 points on Friday, but in the end, the Dow off 157 points to close at 10,325. The tech-heavy NASDAQ slid 29 points to close at 1947. The S&P 500 off nearly 15 points to finish at 1099. The three major indexes dropped over 1%. Investor concern that the economy won't be able to sidestep a recession overshadowed the House passage of the bailout bill and President Bush's signing of that today. The price of crude oil was also down a dollar to $93 per barrel. Other piece of bad economic news on Friday was the White House noting that nearly 160,000 jobs were lost in September, and the White House obviously expressing disappointment about those numbers. Officially, 159,000 jobs lost last month, well more than originally anticipated. White House spokesman Tony Fratto describes the report as disappointing but said it was not unexpected given the current state of the economy. Fratto says everyone needs to understand that it's going to take time for the economy to recover from a housing crisis, elevated energy prices, and the credit crunch. Meanwhile, the FDIC is going to take a deeper look into the reviewing of the Wells Fargo and Citigroup bids for Wachovia. Earlier this week, the agency said it had brokered a deal for Citigroup to buy struggling Wachovia's banking assets. Now Wachovia says they've expected a bid from Wells Fargo for a complete buyout. The FDIC's Sheila Bair says they stand behind the original Citigroup deal. She says they plan to review all of the proposals from both Citigroup and Wells Fargo while working with primary regulators from all three companies to come up with a resolution that best serves the public interest. Also, six of Washington Mutual's top 11 executives have left the bank after last week's takeover by J.P. Morgan Chase. Former WaMu CEO Alan Fishman, COO Steve Rotella, legal counsel Michael Solander, and three others are no longer with the failed bank, and J.P. Morgan officials say they will not receive any special payments beyond what ordinary employees get. J.P. Morgan retail chief Charlie Scharf and WaMu employees and retirees will still get pension, as well as 401k and deferred compensation plans on all WaMu branches will be converted into Chase banks by the end of 2010. In other news, the major political story late in the week, of course, the vice presidential debate between Republican Sarah Palin and Democrat Joe Biden, taking place on the campus of Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri on Thursday evening. The two went toe-to-toe over issues ranging from the war in Iraq to the state of our economy. On the financial front, Senator Joe Biden, the Democratic nominee, said Senator John McCain, the top of the Republican ticket, is simply out of touch because just 2 weeks ago, he said the fundamentals of our economy were strong.
Until 2 weeks ago, it was two Mondays ago, John McCain said at 9 o'clock in the morning that the fundamentals of the economy were strong. 2 weeks before that, he said, George, we've made great economic progress under George Bush's policies. 9 o'clock, the economy was strong. 11 o'clock that same day, two Mondays ago, John McCain said that we have an economic crisis. That doesn't make John McCain a bad guy, but it does point out he's out of touch. Those folks on the sidelines knew that 2 months ago.
But Governor Palin says McCain was talking about the innovation and ingenuity of the American workforce when he said the fundamentals of the economy were strong. Governor Palin also says that when you look at the Obama-Biden plan for the economy, Americans should be frightened.
Barack had 94 opportunities to side on the people's side and reduce taxes, and 94 times he voted to increase taxes or not support a tax reduction, 94 times. But we do need tax relief. And Barack Obama even supported increasing taxes as late as last year for those families making only $42,000 a year. That's a lot of middle-income, average American family. To increase taxes on them, I think that is the way to kill jobs and to continue to harm our economy.
The Iraq War was also a major issue, with Governor Palin accusing Senator Obama of failing to even fund the troops in Iraq because he didn't support the mission there. Senator Biden countered that John McCain had done the same thing because there was an earlier version of the bill that had a timetable for troop withdrawals attached. Biden says Obama supports funding the troops, but not without a timetable. Governor Palin countered that having a timetable is simply waving the white flag of surrender. Overall, Palin seemed to score well with viewers and critics, and also was able to score zingers like this one, accusing Obama Biden of not really looking for a hopeful future, but looking at the past to blame people for problems.
So, Joe, there you go again, pointing backwards again, though. You prefaced your whole comment with the Bush administration. Now, doggone it, let's look ahead and tell Americans what we have to plan to do for them in the future.
Still ahead in this edition of Dateline Washington, some end-of-the-week fun with the Capitol Steps. We'll look at the very latest polling numbers, courtesy of Zogby International. But up next, Republican National Committee co-chair Joanne Davidson on just how well Governor Palin did in Thursday night's debate. This is Dateline Washington.